We're going to continue with verse 22. But before we get started, I just want to say that this is a section, and one of the things that this book wants us to see is as we're going through this walk with Jesus and growing through the times of struggle and all that we have, that we should, as Christians, be joined together in harmony. So write that word in harmony. We know what that means. And just to kind of focus on that a little bit, some verses. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you should agree and have concern and love for each other." And then Romans 12:10 says, "Love each other as brothers and sisters and honor others more than you do yourselves." And 1 John 3:18, "You should show love for others by truly helping them, not merely talking about it." Now, you cannot do these things unless you are joined together, write it down, by the truth of the enduring Word of God. Now, here's the thing. If we don't have the common thing of the Word of God amongst each other as Christians here in our church, does that make, if we don't have that, then it's going to be, everything we do is going to be based on what we as individuals think. The problem with that is we as individuals think different things. We cannot base our church on politics. We cannot say everybody in our church has to be a Republican, everybody in our church has to be a Democrat, everybody in our church has to be a bull moose. Yes, that was a party at one time, you know, or a wig. That's what I am. You can't do that, because then the church is going to be divided. Okay? We're not a political party. We're in danger of that in our society today. We don't want to do that. But we do, and we should have in common the enduring Word of God. And if we have that in common, we're going to have enough in common that we can function as a church. And so we need to study these truths. So let's begin in verse 22. "Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the Word of the Lord abides forever," endures forever. "And this is the word which was preached to you." Continue. "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile, all hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." First, we want to speak about this word, sincerity. Okay? It's not literally there, but it's there. Look at verse 22. "Since you have an obedience to the word, truth, yeah, purified your souls," well, it is there, "for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently want to love one another from the heart." Sincere. That means not fake. You ever see somebody that acted like they liked you and they're such a fake, you just wanted to slug them? You know? It's not something you had to pay them to do to like you. You know, sometimes you got to, you know, feel like you got to do this, this, and this to be popular. You don't, you know. It's honest. Try it down. Honest. It's honest. Real. And it's vulnerable. That means a person, by their loving you in sincerity, opens themselves up to be hurt. no amount of difficulty will stop this sincere love. But it must be pure, having no evil thought or feelings. It's a big thing. Okay. We can have that because the Word is enduring. And because the Word is enduring and its truths are enduring, what we feel, what we say, what we do can also be enduring. If you look at verse 24, it talked about the world here. All flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers, the flowers falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which we preach to you. Of course, this is a quote from the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, 6, 7, and 8. It gives me and reminds me of something that, actually two things, that when we're facing hard times or persecution. One is this, write this down, life is short. You know, I say this to y'all. Y'all heard me say this probably 100 times. In 100 years, it's probably not going to matter that much, really. Because life is short. Some of us ain't going to be 100 years, is it? You know, it's short. It seems like just yesterday we were in China picking up our 2 daughters. It's short. Some of y'all nodding, you know, you got kids that are grazed and they're gone. Now you got grandkids that you got hanging around all the time. You know, short time. That knowledge can be good, because when we're going through struggles and persecutions and people are giving us a hard time and all of that, understand that it ain't going to last. It's just not going to last. And the other thing is this, the word of the God endures forever. You know, and God endures forever. He is there forever. The world isn't going to last forever. The junk you're going through here isn't going to last forever. But God does, and all that He tells us, everything that He promises, lasts forever. That's something that'll get you through almost anything. And then as we start chapter 2, we see this idea of growth. Growth. Did you notice that verse 1? Putting aside all malice and guile and all malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow. Growth. We talked in the last session about holiness. That is essential. That is essential. Now, if you are saved, you are going to grow in holiness. Now, sometimes you'll grow faster, sometimes you'll grow slower, but you're going to grow. That's just the way it is. You're going to grow. And before we can grow, it talks about being planted in the soil of love. You know, basically, if we don't love one another and we're not seeking to grow as a family together, the growth is going to be slow. You know, I talk to people all the time, well, I'm a Christian, I just don't want nothing at that church. And I think that person is never going to grow, because the only way, the real way you grow is through, you know, coming through church. And sometimes it's hard going to church because there's so many idiots in the church, you know, including the preacher, you know, that calls us to grow, because, you know, you just, you know, rubs you the wrong way and you grow. It's very important. And even those people that rub you the wrong way, you got to love them. You got to love them. We must clear the weeds of sin out. That's what that's talking about. What are the weeds of sin? Verse 1, malice, guile, hypocrisy,
envy, slander.
These are all things that are problems in churches. You know, there are problems. Some people get jealous and they just get downright mad at each other. And they get malicious toward each other. And mean toward you. I've always said some of the meanest people I've ever known are church people. And that's the truth. And they are tricky. And they're hypocrites. And they envy each other. And they talk badly about each other. On and on and on and on and on. All of those things crowd out God and crowd out His Word and cause us not to be able to grow because it alienates us from each other. We can't be alienated from each other and grow. We're a family. Families grow in love the closer they are. And if you're not close and you're just out here doing your own thing and you just show up every once in a while and you're not close and you don't care about each other and then you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow as an individual, and you're not going to grow as a church, you're not going to grow, period. And then it speaks the last verse here, next to the last verse, verse 2, about the desire for the Word. Like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the Word. Now, my son liked milk. And my job after Becky had him, because she had a C-section, was to get up in the middle of the night, go in there and change him, and haul him in there to her so she could give him some milk and then take him back to bed. And I didn't mind doing that, but I'm going to tell you, a couple of times I was just really, really tired. I was teaching summer school, and I just really got tired. And sometimes he let me know he wanted the milk. He had a sincere desire for milk. Unfortunately, as a pastor, I haven't had that too many times from church members, you know, as far as the Word goes. Many a times they get frustrated because I went too long. Or, you know, well, you know what I'm talking about. So we really want that. It's an element of Christian growth. It's a desire for the Word of God and for faith. And growth in the Word is necessary for spiritual growth. Write that down. It's necessary. You're not going to grow spiritually if you don't grow in the Word. And then the last verse talks about taste. Now, I like that. You know, if you tasted the kindness of the Lord, taste is pleasure. I like donuts, you know, and often I will go and look at them. You know, we'll be at Walmart or something, one of those big Walmarts that has donut places. You know, our Walmart, Kosciuszko's pitiful. They don't. You know, they just have this little island out in the middle with Krispy Kreme. I'll still go look at them. But, you know, if my family and I go to Walmart, girls, you know, where do you find Daddy if you get lost? The donut aisle, man. I'll stand there. But you know what? It's not as good looking at it as tasting it. I mean, it is. No, I enjoy looking at them, but let's be honest with you. It's much better. If I could just get in there and just eat 7 or 8 dozen, it would be great because I would much rather taste it than look at it. But we got a bunch of lookers in the modern church. They want to look at the Word. They want to go and they want to watch Beth or Max or, you know, somebody like that. And look at what they say, and look at this, and look at that, and look at that, that, look, look, look. But they don't want to taste it. Something to think about. We do not simply trust that the Lord is gracious. We must, and we do, experience His grace firsthand. And we do this by appropriating the Word into our lives. And this tasting and appropriation promotes adoration, which is the willingness to come near God. You know, Hebrews talks a lot about this. Hebrews is, you know, one of the great books of the Bible, and it talks a lot about worship. In Hebrews 4, let me just give you four verses. Hebrews 4:16, for so whenever we're in need, we should come bravely before the throne of our merciful God, and there we will be treated with undeserved kindness, and we will find help. 7:25, He is able, forever able to save the people He leads to God because He always lives to speak to God for them. 10:22, let us come near to God with pure hearts and confidence that comes from having faith. Let us keep our hearts pure, our consciences free from evil, and our bodies washed with clean water. 11:6, but without faith, no one can please God. We must believe that God is real and that He rewards everyone who searches for Him. You know, under the law, an individual person couldn't do this unless maybe they were the priest. They couldn't come near to God because God was in this holy of holy places, you know. The way the temple was constructed, you couldn't even get near to God. But in the New Testament, that's what all this is talking about. In Hebrews, God invites us to draw near to Him. That's what He does. And the main way all this is possible, the main way this growth, the main way a desire for the Word, the main way the tasting of the Word is possible is through studying the enduring Word. See, the more we read, the more we meditate, the more we think about the Word of God, the more you grow. You know. Now, obviously, there's application of what we learn. And that's part of it. Obviously, as we go through struggles and we appropriate the truth that we've learned from the Word of God and apply them to those struggles, that we grow. But it all boils down to a study of the Word of God. It's extremely important. You know, we've got to learn to taste and enjoy the Word of God. And I've shared with y'all, you know, my struggle early on. With really personal, I didn't have any trouble studying, prepare sermons. I've always done that. I've always enjoyed that. My struggle was always a struggle, personal time, you know. And I get drag myself up, man. I just couldn't do it. I was lazy. And finally, the Lord just basically said to me, "All right, if you don't want to talk to me, I don't want nothing to do with you. Be like your wife. You don't ever want to talk to her. Eventually, she'll get to where she don't want to talk to you either. You know." And it killed me. And so I started looking at it like I'm going to enjoy getting up and talking to the Lord like He was a real person. And ever since then, there are times that nowadays especially, have a hard time getting up. But, you know, even if I have a hard time getting up, even if I don't make it up till 7, I still spend my hour with the Lord, you know. All right, let's talk about a couple of things. I think we're got more time this time, yeah. Let me ask you this. And this is an important and a big question. Why do you think sincerity is important in studying the Word? Bobby? Adoration, I'm sorry. I go too fast. I'm sorry. I ought to get it up here on the board. I may try to do that. Taste promotes adoration, right? And the last one is grow. The more you grow, the more you think about the Word, the more you grow. Isn't that on there? Okay, well, on my notes, I got it circled anyway. Okay, come back to the question. Why do you think it's sincere? Why is sincerity important when you're studying the Word? Let's put it this way. Why is, men, it important when your wife is talking to you that you sincerely listen?
She might ask follow-up questions.
Yes, she might ask follow-up. And to be honest with you, here's what's going to happen. If you're not sincere when you study in the Word one morning, and then you go out and something happens to you that God was trying to prepare you for, that day, and you weren't sincere, you're not going to be prepared. Does that make sense? You know?
You know, Bobby, you went on some missions for the Army. Why was it important that you sincerely listened to the orders before you went on that mission? Yeah, life or death. Life or death. And I'm going to tell you guys something. That is important to understand. And also, if you don't, you're going to hurt her feelings. You women know what I'm talking about, because my wife will tell you, there's been a lot of times she's been trying to talk to me, and I've just been ho-hum. Shut up, I'm trying to watch the ball game, or, you know, whatever, Butch is going, his eyes, you don't do that, you know. But we have all done that, men, and we hurt our wife's feelings. Now, I have to say, there's been a few times I've done that, Becky. I've been trying to talk to her, and she ignored me because she had her mind on, and it hurt my feelings. Look, you don't want to hurt God's feelings. He deserves whatever time you give Him. He deserves to be listened to. So sincerity, and He deserves sincerity. I guarantee you He was sincere when He was on that cross. One more. Why is a desire for the Word important when you're studying the Word? That's right. What were you going to say? Same thing? I do that in school too. So I was going to say the same thing. You know, really and truly, guys, you get what you desire. I'll just be honest with you. I feel like a lot of times we come to church with no desire to get anything except just getting our kids here. And that's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I mean, you get your kids here, that's a big deal. But to be honest with you, the devil attacks us so much when we're getting ready to go. And all of that, by the time you get here, you're so beat down and you feel like such a failure because, you know, here you are, you're trying to be spiritual and get your kids here so they can grow spiritually, and you've already beat them up before they get here. Oh, okay, that's okay. Thought it was my phone. I'm so used to hearing that kind of phone. But anyway, listen, it's a big deal to be sincere with the Lord. I can't. It's a big deal to be sincere with each other too, Pat, but it's more important that you're sincere with the Lord. If you're not sincere with the Lord, you're not going to be sincere with each other. You can't play the game. Can't play the game. Any questions? I know I just kind of preached. That's not good necessarily, but let's go to the Lord.